Thank you, Marie. When we are unsure about a decision, there is nothing better than a referral or a recommendation. We are blessed with friends and family members who we can turn to when we have to make a choice. When your brother is looking for a doctor or a plumber, a referral based on your experience is invaluable. When your friend is seeking a reservation for dinner or a recommendation for a movie, that recommendation based on what you've gone to or what you've seen seems priceless. I was talking to someone yesterday and I was thinking how wonderful it would be. Although I'm not sure in theory, it would work in theory. I'm not sure in practice how well it would work. If there were Yelp reviews for churches or Angie's List for churches, or there's another one that I can't think of what the name is. There's commercials for it. And it's like, oh, can you give me 3 recommendations for my roof guy, and can you give it to me in 15 seconds? Wouldn't it be nice? What's that? Wouldn't it be nice if we could have referrals for life's big decisions? Recommendations, not advice, but just recommendations. What if our family and friends are looking for the bigger question, answers to the bigger questions in life? What would you refer them to? What would you recommend they do? What would you offer to answer their frustrations, to address their doubts, to help them in their search for meaning? They would be blessed if you were a bit like Andrew. This passage this morning, we're concluding our healthy habits for a healthy church, for a healthy Christian. Healthy habits. We've looked at sharing of God's word. We've talked about Bible study in Sunday school. We've talked about giving. We've talked about vocation. We've talked about a couple of other things that I can't even remember off the top of my head. But today we want to talk about the healthy habit of evangelism, of sharing our faith. And not even sharing our faith. Because oftentimes when we think about sharing our faith, we think about sharing our doctrinal faith. And what I really want you to think about is sharing your relationship with Jesus. You're sharing your relationship with God. Sharing what you trust in. Evangelism. Sharing the good news, literally, of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to think about as we look at the life of Andrew, or this episode in Andrew's life. Andrew listened to a trusted advisor and followed Jesus. That's the first thing we see. Verse 35. The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with his 2 disciples. If we were to read earlier in this passage, we'd notice that John the Baptist was roaming the countryside, proclaiming repentance and preparation. Prepare the way through repentance. Cleanse yourself because the Messiah is coming. And as he's roaming the countryside, he sees Jesus. Verses 29 to 34 talk about the fact that he saw Jesus coming and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he gives a little more teaching. God, and John gives a testimony of how he sees that this is the Messiah. And so now in verse 35, we see that he has gone back to the same place. This is where I saw Jesus yesterday, but this time he takes two of his disciples, specifically pinpoints two people, and says, come with me and we're going to see Jesus. Maybe he doesn't say that to them, but that's his goal. That's his motivation for going. Next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now, we're not sure if John is saying that's all he said, or if he's saying, as would be the custom for Jewish teachers in that day, you start with what you say, and then that harkens back to what you've already taught. When Jesus says my God, why have you forsaken me? It's an address of the 29th Psalm. And it's all of the 29th Psalm and not just those few verses. And when John says, look, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Yesterday, when he says, look, the Lamb of God, perhaps he also said again, who takes away the sins of the world. John had been teaching that one would come who would offer forgiveness. And John is the first to mention, to include, that forgiveness would come through sacrifice. That the Lamb, according to those who grew up in Jewish teachings, which all his disciples would have, the Lamb was the one on whom all the sin was placed. The Lamb was the one whose blood was poured out. The Lamb was the one who was killed so that God's wrath could be satisfied. And John is saying here, behold, the Lamb of God. Not so much saying, look, what a cute, fuzzy little guy. But rather, look, this is the one who will die to bring about the forgiveness of our sins. Andrew had been prepared. He had been anticipating the Messiah. And Andrew looks for the coming of the Lord, as John had just taught in the previous chat, in the previous verses. John goes back and brings his followers, and John sees Jesus. And Andrew and the other disciple recognize this is the one who will bring forgiveness. And so what do they do? Maybe in a harsh way, maybe just in the way that John had equipped them, John the Baptist had equipped them. Maybe it was just the way that things were back then. But they turn and follow Jesus. They look, John, the Lamb of God. And they go, great, see you later. I'm done. You've done your job, now I'm going to follow him. And that's what they do. The time of preparation was over, and now the time of following had come. Our two disciples left the comfort of what they knew and chased after who they had been prepared to follow. And ultimately, one of the things that we need to do, each and every one of us, if we want to be healthy, if we want to be a genuine, true, and sincere follower of Jesus, is to prepare for following Christ. And then, when we are given the opportunity to follow Christ in a particular and precise way, then we actually go. I think sometimes we prepare We go to evangelism seminars, or we go to workshops, or we listen to messages that say, you ought to share your faith. And we say, okay, I'm ready. If this ever happens, I'm ready. But that's as far as it goes. We're prepared. Sort of like a fire drill. I am ready. In the off chance that there's ever a fire, I know what to do. But oftentimes, what actually happens is that when the opportunity comes and we hear the alarm, what do we say? Let's look around. Is there really a fire, or is the smoke detector malfunctioning, or if you live in an apartment in Dorchester, is one of the other floors cooking food because we're all wired together, and therefore if my smoke alarm is going off, it's probably not anything important. We're not going to leave. We're not going to go. We're not going to heed the sound and move from where we are. We're just going to fan the thing, or we're going to just wait till it stops. And I want to encourage you to be more like Andrew and say, you know what? I am prepared. I am ready. And when that moment comes to say, I am going to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. The second thing, Andrew listened to his curiosity and stayed with Jesus. Curiosity is a great thing. Curiosity encourages invention, imagination. One of the things I worry about with my own children is that the world does not foster imagination like it did when I was a kid. The world does not foster curiosity as it did when I was a kid. We would go out and make stuff out of wood and dirt and junk. And I don't know how much of that is happening anymore. Andrew was a person of curiosity. He goes and follows Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them, verse 38, saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Literally, what Jesus asks them is, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? Not why are you here. In a way, what do you want? What are you pursuing? What are you seeking? What are you trying to gain? What treasure are you chasing? People come to Jesus for a lot of different reasons. But all of them are satisfied in him. The disciples respond, where are you staying? And some commentators say this is maybe a sign of nervousness or awkwardness, or Andrew didn't know what to say, what to do, because it really doesn't make much sense. Except as we look at this passage, we see that John gives a reference to time. Verse 39, come and you'll see. So they went to where he was staying and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The time of traveling would have been over and the time of darkness and would have come upon. And he's saying, Andrew, I believe, is really saying, how much time do you have? How far are you going? How long will this conversation take? Because if you're going a long way, I don't want to keep you. But if you're staying local, then maybe we can chat. And Jesus says, I got all the time in the world. All the time you need. Stay with me. We have so many questions. And sometimes we think that Jesus just doesn't have the time. But let's listen to what he says to Andrew. Come, stay with me. Remain with me. Reside with me. Stay is such a simple word, what it really means is live in me, remain, reside, dwell. Where are you staying? Jesus, in a way, says the question is not where I'm staying, it's where you are staying. Where is your life centered? Can you imagine the deep conversation that they had around that table? The questions that were asked. And I was thinking about that yesterday, about the conversations that we have when we have a lot of time. You know, when we have a short amount of time, we are information driven. Boom, bing, bang, boom. This is what I need to know. These are the answers I need to have. When we have a longer period of time, a meal or a night, then we begin to build relationships and talk about relationships and talk about feelings and thoughts and the things that we wouldn't normally get to, not just the information, but the heart. And that's what Andrew and Jesus and the others engage in. They spent the day and the night with him. Imagine you had the opportunity to spend an evening with your hero, Tom Hanks, Tom Brady, Clarence Thomas, Doubting Thomas. You decide. It can be anyone. What would you talk about? What would you ask? There was a contest not long ago about having dinner with a bunch of people. I think it was Bobby Orr, Larry Bird, maybe Tom Brady, I'm not even sure. But can you imagine just talking with sports heroes or politicians, talking with the president, talking with the governor, talking with the mayor? What would you do? Now imagine that you had an evening to spend with God. What would you ask? What would you talk about? And the good news is that you can. You can spend an evening with God anytime you want, in prayer and in reflection of his word. And he listens and he speaks. And given enough time, God will provide us with all the answers we need. God will satisfy our longings so that we can, as he says, stay with him, remain with him. Now, I don't know what the conversation was like between Jesus and Andrew, but I do know the results. By the time the morning came, by the time the next day dawned, Andrew was ready. Verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew listened to his heart and spoke about Jesus. He listened to an advisor and followed Jesus. He listened to his curiosity and stayed with Jesus. He listened to his heart and spoke about Jesus. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Whatever was said in that evening fully convinced Andrew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one who would take away the sins of the world. It wasn't just that John had taught them that, it was that they were fully convinced. Those who know that joy can rarely keep it to themselves. Which brings me back to Yelp or to ratings, online ratings. That typically people are not middle of the road. If you are going to write a review, Either it's 5 stars or 1 star. There's very few people, some do 4, but rarely is there 3. It's okay. You're not going to spend your time if it's okay. If it's awesome, you're going to say something. And if it's awful, you're going to say something. Most of the other things, you're just going to let go. And the fact is that all of us have the opportunity, if we know Jesus, if we've abided in Jesus and remained in him, to understand enough about him to be excited enough to say, you need to listen to this guy. You need to talk to this guy. You need to follow this guy. Andrew does what he can. We have found the Messiah. And then brings Peter. Peter, the one whom Jesus is going to, in a few months, years, say, I'm going to build my church on your proclamation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Andrew brings him to Jesus, verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, led him to Jesus. Now, some of you may be saying, I don't understand how this works, because isn't Peter fishing and Jesus comes upon him, and doesn't Jesus then go into his boat and Peter say, oh, go away from me, I'm a terrible person. And Jesus says, oh no, I'm going to make you fishers of men. How does that reconcile? The same way John the Baptist. I know where Jesus is. Let's go to where Jesus is. And as they're going, or as they're thinking of going, as they're talking about it, they meet. They happen to meet while Peter is fishing with his brother. And that's Jesus. The fact is that we get opportunities all the time. We are given opportunities all the time to share what we know, to share our relationship with Jesus. Not to share everything that can be known, but to share what we know. And it could be just a little thing, or it could be a great thing. But we are to share it. Andrew says, he's the Messiah, and you need to meet him. And when they meet, Jesus knows who Peter is. He knows who Peter will become. You are Simon, son of John. You will be Cephas, which when translated is Peter. You will be a rock. Not the rock, but a rock. Overall, there is nothing as effective as a personal invitation in leading a person to Christ. In our context, however, it often takes time in demonstration of faith and discussion of faith before there is a softening of the heart. And so I encourage you to take the time with those around you who are seeking answers about Jesus. For Andrew, the culture was looking for a Messiah. The culture isn't looking for a Messiah right now. The culture probably has 100 million Messiahs, because each one of us saves ourselves in our culture. And so it's going to be a little longer and a little harder and a little more time. But I encourage you to be prepared for that eventuality when the door is opened to sharing your relationship with Christ, that you would do so. That you would take the time to those who are seeking answers and tell them about Jesus. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God uses the details of our lives to prepare us to share Christ. While our world, and especially the technology of this world, is quite different from the world of Andrew, the way of God has not changed all that much. The faith we profess is handed down one heart at a time, over time. And we are part of that chain. And we can engage in the healthy habit of evangelism and literally share the good news. God uses the details of our lives to prepare us and to share Christ. We have been prepared to follow and encourage others to follow Christ. Every detail of our lives, the good and the bad, has brought us here today. Knowing what we know about the beauty and the ugliness of the world, knowing what we know about the power and grace of God. And we can share the truth that the beauty is just a shadow of what is to come. And the ugliness can be eliminated through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. We can share the truth with those we live around. Andrew shared it with his brother. His brother shared it with a lot. Just takes the time to say simple words when someone asks a question that's hard. Occasionally, God gives us the opportunity in the midst of those conversations, in the midst of those relationships, to say, hey, here's Jesus. That's all we have to do. Have you met Jesus? Let me tell you about him. What's the worst that can happen? People will say, I don't believe that. Well, they didn't believe it when you started, so what's the big deal there? Oh, I hate you because you love Jesus. I doubt that's going to happen. I know we worry about things like that, but it is not going to happen. Maybe, just maybe, they'll say, you know what? I'll give this Jesus a chance. And then God only knows what will happen next. God uses the details of our lives to prepare us to share Christ. He has prepared you. Now go when the opportunity comes and share that truth. You may just save someone's life in doing so. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for